Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Turn with me, please, to the Word of God, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, as we read the verses 1 through 20, and these words also form the text for the sermon. Let us hear the Word of God. And again he, that is Jesus, began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This ends the reading of Holy Scripture. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, are you a good listener? Some of us are very good at listening, especially to sermons. Some can listen to a sermon, follow the line of thought, digest it, analyze it, and evaluate it, sometimes without even realizing it. In some cases, they can even recall a sermon weeks, months, and even years later. But not everyone listens the same way. Some listen deeply. They listen in such a way that the words that they hear make a deep and lasting impression on their hearts, resulting in permanent change. Others listen superficially. They hear the words that are being said, but they hear them in such a way that those words do not make a deep and lasting impression on their hearts. And whatever change comes about as a result of hearing these words doesn't last. It's only temporary. Now, this is precisely what Jesus is teaching in the words of our text, which we have just read together from Mark 4, the verses 1 through 20. Mark 4 contains one of only two extended summaries of Jesus' teaching. The other is contained in chapter 13. In this chapter, Jesus speaks three parables. First is the parable of the sower, or we could perhaps better call it the parable of the soils, which we have just read, verses 1 to 20. The second is the parable of the seed, which you can find in verses 26 to 29. And the third is the parable of the mustard seed in verses 30 to 32. Now, all three of these parables have something in common. First place, they're all borrowed from the world of agriculture. Secondly, they all have to do with seed. But each one illustrates a different point. The parable of the soils focuses on the reception of the gospel. The parable of the seed focuses on the growth of the gospel. And the parable of the mustard seed focuses on the power of the gospel. Well, today, with God's help, we want to focus our attention on the first of these parables, the parable of the soils. And we'll see that in this parable, Jesus explains differing responses to the preaching of the gospel. In some cases, there are those who respond positively. In other cases, there are those who do not. The point of the parable is to cause us to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves this vital question: what kind of listener am I? So my theme today is differing responses to the gospel. And we'll see how these differing responses are first of all described, and secondly, explained. The parable of the soils was spoken by our Lord somewhere near the Sea of Galilee. At one point, Jesus withdrew from the house where he was speaking, and he made his way to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, followed by a large crowd of people. And there he stepped into a boat and launched a little way from the shore, while the crowd assembled on the shore. Now when everyone had gathered together, Jesus sat down and began to teach the people in parables. We read in verse 2, "Then he taught them many things by parables." Now this is the first time that Jesus spoke in parables. What is a parable? Well, it's often been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But that's only partly true. The parables of Jesus are not like pleasant stories with a moral, like a Christian version of Aesop's fables. They are part of the holy, infallible Word of God. And their purpose is to teach us in ways that we can readily understand vital truths about God, His kingdom, and ourselves. And as such, they are to be taken very seriously. Now, the first parable that Jesus told was the parable of the soils, verses 1 to 20. This parable is relatively simple and straightforward. The sower, Jesus says, went out to sow. Now, in ancient times, farmers did not sow their fields with a tractor and a seed drill like we do today. He simply put some seed in a bag, and then with the bag slung over his shoulder, he began to scatter the seed on the tilled soil as he walked up and down the field. And as he did, the seed, Jesus says, fell on four different types of soil. First, some seed fell on hard-packed soil, the wayside soil. Now, the wayside refers to a path that ran either alongside of or right through the field. In ancient times, farmers would leave a narrow stretch of their field unplowed, and they would use this as a footpath in order to easier gain access to their crops. Consequently, when the farmer sowed his seed, some of this seed fell onto these footpaths, this wayside soil. And since the soil on these paths was hard, the seed would not take root. It just lay there. And eventually, as Jesus goes on to say, the birds came and gobbled them up. The second kind of soil that Jesus mentions here is stony soil. And by stony soil, Jesus does not mean soil with stones in it. Rather, Jesus here is referring to soil that lay on top of a layer of rock. And that type of soil was quite common in Palestine. Often in Palestine, a large layer of rock would lie just beneath the surface of the soil. And as a result, when the seed was scattered on this type of soil, it would sprout. But because the soil was so shallow, as soon as the sun came up, the tiny sprout would wither and die, because the stone prevented its roots from penetrating far enough into the soil to get the moisture that it needs. The third type of soil that Jesus mentions is thorny soil. Now, like the stony soil, the thorny soil also appears, at least at first glance, to be good soil. The problem is that in this soil there are other seeds, the seeds of thorns and thistles. And these seeds even have an advantage over the good seeds because they were there first. Also, they tend to grow faster than the good seeds. And as a result, as soon as the good seed starts to sprout, the weeds choke them and they never come to maturity. The fourth kind of soil that Jesus mentions here is the good soil. Now, the good soil is not at all like the other soils which I've just mentioned. Unlike the hard-packed soil, this soil was soft. Unlike the stony soil, this soil was deep. And unlike the thorny soil, this soil was relatively free of weeds. Consequently, the seed that fell in this soil not only sprouted, it also bore fruit. Now, to be sure, not all of the seed bore the same amount of fruit. Some, Jesus says, bore 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But they all bore fruit. Now, upon telling this parable, Jesus' disciples came to him, probably sometime later, and asked him privately about it. And they said, verse 10, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable." In the parallel account in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 13, we read that the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, it's clear from both accounts that the disciples wanted to know two things. First of all, they wanted to know the meaning of this parable. And secondly, they wanted to know why Jesus spoke to the people in parables rather than plainly. Now, you notice Jesus' response. He says in verse 11, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Now, Jesus here makes a distinction between those who are inside and those who are outside. Those who are inside are those who, like the disciples, understood the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God refers to the realm of grace as opposed to the realm of nature. And in this realm, God manifests his willingness and his ability to save sinners. And as such, it includes the entire order of salvation. How God calls sinners, how he regenerates sinners, how he converts sinners and justifies sinners and sanctifies sinners and ultimately glorifies sinners. And it's called a mystery because it cannot be fully comprehended by the natural man. In order for man to comprehend this mystery, it must be revealed to him. In other words, God must show it to him and teach it to him by his word and Holy Spirit. And such was the case with the disciples. To them, and to them only, it was given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But notice, it was not given to those who are outside. In other words, to those to whom God chose not to reveal this mystery. This includes, obviously, the scribes and the Pharisees. But it also includes all those who refuse to repent and believe the gospel. To them, Jesus says, all things come in parables. Why? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 12, "So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Now, Jesus here is quoting from Isaiah 6, the verses 9 and 10. In this chapter, Isaiah sees a vision of God sitting on his throne in the temple. And Isaiah was so impressed by what he saw that he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Following this, one of the seraphim took a live coal from the altar and touched his lips, purging them of sin. And then the Lord asked, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And God responded to that by saying this, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Now, Jesus does not quote these words exactly, but the gist is certainly there. The point is, God sent Isaiah out to preach, not with the intention of saving those who heard him, but rather with the intention of hardening them. And that's the case here as well. The reason why Jesus spoke to the people in parables was so that the hearts of those who are outside might be hardened. Now, at first glance, that seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? I mean, how can this be? How can Jesus, the kind and merciful Savior, who came to seek and to save that which is lost, deliberately seek to prevent people from perceiving and understanding the truth of the Word of God and thus prevent them from being saved? Well, in response to that question, we must remember two things. We must remember, first of all, that God is absolutely sovereign. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And if he chooses to soften the hearts of some and harden the hearts of others, that is his prerogative, and he is accountable to no one. But secondly, in hardening their hearts, our Lord is not doing anything that the scribes and the Pharisees had not already done themselves. Recall that the scribes had just accused Jesus of being possessed by Beelzebub and casting out demons by the power of the prince of demons. And in doing so, Jesus said they committed the unpardonable sin. They committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. And so by speaking to them in parables, which they could not understand, Jesus was merely confirming them in their own unbelief. And this is confirmed in the parallel passage in Matthew 13, verse 13. And there Jesus says this, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, not so that, as we have in Mark, but because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Jesus spoke to them in parables because they had already hardened their hearts against him. And by speaking to them in parables, Jesus was merely confirming them in their own stubborn refusal to acknowledge him for who and what he was. Now, dear friends, we are reminded here to take heed how we hear. Most of us hear a lot of sermons. And every time the Word of God is preached, we hear the call to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. At least we ought to. But if we refuse to respond to that call, as well as to all the other calls of the gospel, such as the call to put sin to death and to walk in the ways of the Lord, then something terrible may happen to us. Our hearts may become hardened. The preaching of the word will become like a parable to us. It will make no sense to us. We won't get it. And this will only serve to harden us in our unbelief. You say, how can we avoid that? Very simple. By responding to the word every time it is preached. By never allowing the word of God to fall on deaf ears, but to do what it says, looking to the Lord for help and for grace. Well, my friend, are you doing that? Are you listening to the preaching of the word of God with a receptive mind and a receptive heart and a believing heart? Or are you simply allowing it to go in one ear and out the other, as so many do? Oh, take heed how you hear. The consequences could be devastating. And so Jesus describes different hearers, comparing them to different types of soil. Following this, he provides us with an explanation that brings us to our second point. Having explained the reason why he spoke to the people in parables, Jesus proceeds to explain the meaning of this particular parable. First of all, he explains what is the seed. The seed is the word. Jesus says so himself. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Now, why is the word of God compared to a seed? Well, because like a seed, the word of God is alive, and it has life-giving potential. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, the writer to the Hebrews says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." No one can read the Word of God or hear it preached and not be affected by it in some way. It will either soften your heart and cause you to cry out to the Lord for mercy, as it did to the Jews on the day of Pentecost after Peter preached his sermon, or it will harden you in your unbelief, as it did in the case of Agrippa and Felix. And Jesus knew this, and that's why he compares the word to a seed. Who is the sower? Well, the sower is Christ, and by extension, anyone who preaches the gospel, whether officially, as in the case of ministers or missionaries or evangelists, or unofficially, like when you speak to your friends and neighbors and co-workers about the gospel. Whoever proclaims the gospel is a sower of the seed. And what are the soils? Well, the soils are different types of hearers, and there are four of them. The hard soil hearers is the first one. These are people who hear the word of God, but they don't absorb it. They don't allow it to sink in. And there may be many reasons for that. Some simply don't understand it. Others are hostile and dismiss it. But the vast majority are those who become easily distracted or busy with other things. And as a result, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. The second kind of hearer are the stony soil hearers. These are people who hear the word of God and they are affected by it. They receive certain impressions from it. They're brought under a certain measure of conviction of sin, and they experience even a certain joy, but it doesn't last. Later, Jesus says, when tribulation or persecution arises, their family disowns them, and their friends and the people that they work with start to make fun of them. And when they're shunned and ridiculed by everyone, then immediately they stumble. And they quickly turn their back on what they know to be true and return to their former way of life. And then Jesus mentions the thorny soil hearers. These are also people who hear the word. And for a while, they even appear to be growing spiritually. But within a short space of time, the situation is reversed. And Jesus says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. You notice Jesus mentions three things here, the cares of the world. This refers to those things which people regularly worry about, things like food and drink and shelter, clothing, employment, and paying the bills. And then he speaks about the deceitfulness of riches. Luke has the pleasures of life. This refers to the fact that many people think that money can solve all of their problems and can make them happy, when in fact it can't. And then there's mention here of the desires for other things. That includes everything not mentioned previously. The desire for power, the desire for prestige, the desire for possessions and pleasures. All these are like different types of weeds that choke out the word. Well, the fourth kind of soil are the good soil hearers. These are people who hear the word just like everyone else, but they receive it in faith, and it bears fruit in their lives. Now, to be sure, not everyone bears the same amount of fruit. Jesus says some bear 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Nor do they all bear the same quality of fruit, but they do bear fruit. They bear fruits of faith and repentance, fruits of patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. And what is more, these fruits are evident for all to see. The person himself may not see them, but others do. And seeing these fruits, they glorify God. Well, these are the four types of hearers. And this begs the question, what kind of hearer are you? Are you like the hard-packed soil, or the stony soil, or the thorny soil? Or are you like the good soil? Some may be one or the other, but every child of God must admit, if they're honest, that they're often like all four. But to be sure, child of God, you are a good soil. The Word of God has borne fruit in your life, not as much as you would like, perhaps, but it has borne fruit. But you can see yourself in other types of soil as well, can't you? Sometimes you're like the hard soil. Your heart has grown hard and cold, and you don't absorb the word like you once did. At other times, you're like the stony soil. You receive a certain impression from the word, but it doesn't last. At still other times, you're like the thorny soil, aren't you? You allow so many things to choke out the word that was sown. And we may have all kinds of reasons why we are more like one type of soil than another, but what kind of soil should we be? That's the question. Should we not all be good soil? And as good soil, should we not all be producing fruit? Yes, even 100-fold to the glory of God? After all, has the Lord not given us everything that we need? Has He not given us His Word? Has He not given us faithful pastors to preach the Word of God and to apply the Word of God? Has He not given us the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper to confirm His Word and to strengthen our faith? Oh, yes, He has. And when you consider all that the Lord has given to us, is there any reason at all why we should not be good soil and why we should not be producing fruit 100-fold to the glory of God? No, my friends, there isn't. And that means that if we're not doing this, the fault lies not with the sower, certainly not with the seed, but with us. In fact, that's the whole point of this parable, isn't it? Why is it that some seed grew and others did not grow? And of the seed that grew, why did some produce 30, some 60, and some 100-fold? It was not because of the sower. All he did was sow the seed. Nor was it because of the seed. It was the same seed that was sown. But it was entirely because of the soil. So again I ask, what kind of soil are you? Well, to be sure, we cannot become good soil just like that on our own. We cannot will to become good soil. Jesus implies as much, doesn't he? You notice how at the end of the parable, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And by making that statement, Jesus is saying that there are those who have ears to hear. In other words, they have ears to hear in a saving way. And where did they get those ears? Not from themselves. For they are by nature dead in trespasses and sins. They got those ears from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave them those ears. But the point is that those who have such ears have a responsibility to produce fruit. My friend, does that describe you today? Oh, may God grant that all of us may have such ears to hear, and that hearing we may hear, and seeing we may see, and by the power of God and His grace working within us may produce fruit. Yes, may it be 100-fold to the glory of His name. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are and what we believe and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.